The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Today, the alleged healthcare CEO shooter in court. People with sensitive info, you know, lawmakers are being warned not to use regular texting because China can see it. But first, the Amazon workers on the picket lines.
Yeah, picket lines up at several Amazon warehouses here across Southern California. And if you've got a holiday order on the way, it might be just a tad late. Let's connect live now with Craig Figner, who is joining us from the City of Industry. Craig.
Yeah, this is, of course, not just a local strike, but a nationwide strike. The Teamsters say that they've been trying to organize about 10,000 delivery workers, people who work in delivering stuff from Amazon, but in large cases, work for an independent contractor. And they say that they're working to organize them into a union, that Amazon has been resisting labor negotiations. The company has said that they don't believe that most of these people really want to be members of the Teamsters. And they also say that they already pay a competitive wage with an average hourly wage of $22 an hour. I asked people on this picket line here in Southern California if that is enough.
After 6 years, I'm at $22.75. No, it is not.
What would be a fair wage?
$30. I do pickups just like Amazon now.
Amazon has said that a lot of the workers who are on picket lines across the country aren't actually their employees.
I think it's a smart way to wash their hands of us. When I'm walking down the street and I hear a little kid come up, they don't say, here comes that third party. They say, here comes Amazon.
We want $30 an hour. We want some of the benefits that UPS drivers have. There's no reason that Amazon cannot pay a higher wage for us.
This strike is happening at, the City of Industry location, also Palmdale and Victorville. There's also an airport hub at the San Bernardino International Airport that is also a part of this labor strike today. What's unclear is if this is going to be more than just today. Some people have said yes, some people say maybe. We do know this, though, that right now this has caused delays here at the City of Industry warehouse. There are five big rigs that are just sitting in the street, unable to get into the parking lot, and several of those smaller delivery vans are kind of circling this warehouse and are inside the parking lot, unable to get out.
All right, Craig Figner, thanks. If you're going to LAX this morning, you'll see some demonstrators out there. United Airlines flight attendants going to hold a demonstration around 11. LAX and some other airports, they say they are gearing up to strike. This is after a successful authorization vote a couple months back. Negotiations broke down over things like last-minute overtime payments. Flight attendants putting the list together, asking for people to sign up and be the first to walk out when they call.
Luigi Mangione, the suspect in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, he's set to be returned to New York at some point today. He has agreed to be extradited at a court appearance in Pennsylvania. It happened just moments ago. In Pennsylvania, that's where he was arrested 5 days ago when he was on the run. The 26-year-old is accused of ambushing Thompson outside that Manhattan hotel. That was 2 weeks ago. Stacey Lynn reports he faces a slew of charges there and from the feds.
Mangione's attorney told CBS News the federal government's reported decision to pile on top of an already overcharged first-degree murder and state terror case is highly unusual and raises serious constitutional and statutory double jeopardy concerns. We are ready to fight these charges in whatever court they're brought.
Mangione initially fought attempts to be extradited. He made two brief court appearances this morning, first waiving a preliminary hearing on forgery of firearms charges before agreeing to be sent back to New York.
Men in Carlsbad being questioned in relation to the school shooting in Wisconsin. Bob Brill says they took guns out of his house.
Police say the shooter, who killed a student and a teacher at a religious school in Madison this week, brought two guns to school. The 15-year-old girl who ended up killing herself had been in contact with Alexander Pattendorf, who authorities believe was planning to shoot up a government building. Retired FBI agent Daniel Bruner spoke with CNN about the connection.
They found similar likes, and I have a feeling that he was, you know, bolstering her thoughts. He saw where she was going. He thought about it. He talked to her about it. He encouraged those dangerous thoughts. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see. Reported, supposedly he was, you know, messaging her, and the FBI agents that were interviewing him, he showed the messages to him. So that's how they were able to get the court order to remove the guns from his house.
Pattendorf admitted to the FBI agents that he told the girl he would arm himself with explosives and a gun, and that he would target a government building. The agent added if the man did facilitate the shooter in going down the path she eventually took, there could be federal charges filed against him. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
State Appeals Court has removed the Fulton County District Attorney from the Georgia election interference case against Donald Trump and others. That decision leaves the future of the prosecution really uncertain at this point. The case has already been largely stalled for months while the Georgia Court of Appeals considered the pretrial appeal. Now, the ruling means it will end up the Prosecuting Attorney's Council of Georgia. They will have to find another prosecutor to replace Fannie Willis, and that to decide whether to continue to pursue it or not. But that could be delayed if Willis decides to appeal to the state Supreme Court. And the deal between Democrats and Republicans that would have kept the federal government open until mid-March is off after House Speaker Mike Johnson pulled the plug. The move came after Elon Musk and President-elect Donald Trump said the package was just too expensive and shouldn't be passed. We talked to USC professor and political strategist Dan Schnur about what's next for Congress.
I was asking on the air yesterday, you know, how much did the Elon Musk tweet have to do with this? Well, apparently a lot, right? Because Axios says they've got a source who says the plan worked. Elon created a storm, then Trump piled on, and lawmakers got, quote, instant feedback. So is this the new way? I mean, Trump probably could have done this himself, right, if he didn't like it. But now we've got like a private citizen billionaire doing it.
Well, the benefit for Trump here is he could exert pressure on the House Republicans without having to put his own political capital at risk. There was no way of knowing yesterday morning if the Republicans on Capitol Hill would respond to that kind of pressure once Musk demonstrated that they would back off of the bill that would keep the government open. Then Trump was much more comfortable weighing in himself. But either way, it looks much more likely than not that by the end of this weekend, we will see a government shutdown, which was something that looked to be avoidable until Musk weighed in yesterday morning.
Dan, so sticking with this Musk thing, is Elon Musk in charge? Is he running the show here? And, you know, it's kind of a half joke, this question, but there is some seriousness to it. I mean, people voted for Donald Trump as president. Are we going to see Elon Musk now jumping in to just about everything? Will he have his hands in just about everything that the president-elect plans on doing?
So two really smart questions, but two separate questions. One, will Musk be involved in everything? And number two, is he in charge? To answer those questions in reverse order, Musk is not in charge. What he did yesterday was clearly at the behest of Trump. And a couple of times in the past, when Musk has weighed in over the last few weeks publicly without Trump's support at the outset, Musk has come up short. So, but that said, even though Musk is not in charge, Trump recognizes what a powerful asset Elon Musk is to his presidency. And so you are going to see over the next 4 years, Musk using his public presence and his social media presence to try to move political and public support in Trump's direction. He's not in charge, but he's Trump's most valuable weapon right now.
If we get a government shutdown, who takes the blame? Or can they sort of shift the narrative to say, hey, you know, keep it shut down until Donald Trump takes over anyway, because we wanted to make some cuts around here to begin with?
Trump underestimated the political hit that he would take during the government shutdown when he was in office during his first term. And I suspect he will take another hit for it now. But it's important to remember that Trump's political success is based to a large degree on the strength of his support from his most loyal backers. And so while on one hand, I suspect public opinion polls will show blame going in Trump's direction for the shutdown, if anything, it will strengthen Trump among his most loyal backers. And that's a weapon he needs going into his new administration.
That's USC professor and political strategist Dan Schnur.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up, wind farms off the coast, spending a lot of money on those. Murder hornets, apparently they've been taken care of, and the squirrels have developed a taste for meat as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
The DOJ is suing CVS. It claims the pharmacy boosted its profits and fueled the nation's opioid crisis by filling excessive prescriptions. The government accuses CVS of doing this for well over a decade. Now, correspondent Donna Water says CVS allegedly ignored explicit warnings from their own pharmacist, who urged the company not to fill any scripts from suspicious prescribers.
U.S. prosecutors claim that CVS filled large quantities of controlled substances written by prescribers it knew to write such prescriptions without any medical purpose. CVS says it has cooperated with the DOJ's investigation for more than 4 years, and it strongly disagrees with the allegations and what it calls the false narrative within the complaint.
CVS paid nearly $5 billion to settle thousands of similar claims made by state and local governments this back in 2022.
Group of more than 30 film and TV businesses joining forces, lobbying for these tax incentives to keep their productions here. Here's Natalie Tavidian.
The group called the California Production Coalition includes professionals like Pamela Elie, owner of the North Hollywood prop studio History for Hire.
Being able to keep these jobs in California mean that I'm going to be able to keep more people employed at my prop house, serving my local customers. Our business is in a 33,000 square foot warehouse. I have people come in and shop, and it's like Costco, only it's like they're props. Instead of things you buy, they're things you rent. Plus, there's a lot of service that we offer that go along with these things. With a company called History for Hire, we're going to have things that are pretty more historic. So if you liked Oppenheimer, you would have seen my props. If you go see A Complete Unknown, the story about Bob Dylan, you're going to see my props. It is important to keep it here so that people have a place to come and populate the projects that they work on.
The state's Film Commission, in its latest round of awards, just announced over $100 million in tax credits to 10 film and TV projects through its tax credit program, and say its productions expected to generate $509 million in state expenditures and create a little over 3,500 jobs. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, California ground squirrels now have a huge appetite for something other than nuts.
Squirrels are hunting voles. And I said, what? I don't know. Is this really happening?
Karen Adams has more on this groundbreaking research.
The researchers at UC Davis and the University of Wisconsin actually have videos of the squirrels hunting, killing, and eating voles, not to be confused with moles, but voles.
This behavior had never been seen for the California ground squirrels at our field site or anywhere else. There are some cases where hunting occurs, but this is the first time that we've seen it be so widespread through a population and being able to document it in extensive detail.
Lead study author Jennifer Smith says the squirrel's carnivorous appetite isn't linked to dwindling food resources, but she says there was an abundance of voles this summer and they share the same space underground. So what's next in their research?
Okay, they have all this new food. It's very energetically rich. This packet of meat that they've never been ingesting, at least to our knowledge. And so how does that actually influence the survival and reproduction of these animals?
Professor Smith says they expect a squirrel boon next summer. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The squirrels will become stronger than we've ever known. The good news is we've taken care of the murder hornets.
It's good news if you were having nightmares about those 2-inch long hornets that arrived in the northwestern U.S. 5 years ago. The giant hornets were actually more of a threat to other bees and insects than humans. To eradicate the hornets, officials attached radio tags to them, tracked them back to their nests, then vacuumed out the hornets and pumped carbon dioxide into the nest to kill any that were still hiding inside. Officials warn the murder hornets could still come back. They're urging the public to report any sightings. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
State of California. There we go. Let that guy fly by. State of California is working with two ports to set up floating wind turbines in the ocean. Part of the state's push for clean energy, turbines going to float on platforms instead of just sitting on the seafloor. They're going to be placed about 20, 30 miles offshore. Ports of Long Beach and Humboldt up in Northern California are going to help build them before sending them to the windy areas of the Pacific. The goal is to create enough energy to power millions of homes by 2045. But the State Lands Commission says it's going to cost a lot of money, about $11 billion to $12 billion in investments just to build out the ports. Well, the holidays can be a joyous time spent with family, friends, but it can also be very stressful. We talked with Naomi Tabak, who's a clinical psychologist and director of UC Irvine's Psychological Services Center.
We get the message from movies and department stores and shopping sites and everything that the holidays are this like sparkly time where we should all be singing and laughing and dancing. But the reality is that while it can be a time of joy, there are often, and for many people, a lot of major stressors that occur, like logistical and financial reasons that the holidays can be stressful around picking the right gifts and maybe traveling, which can be such a source of both stress and such a financial difficulty. Hosting people in the home, all of these things can be really disrupting and expensive. So the first thing that I just want to put out there is just to really think about what your expectations are going into the holiday seasons. And if you're taking care of others, also be thinking about what their expectations are and how you can kind of look forward and manage those.
Now, she says if you don't have a lot of money to spend, stick to a budget. And then there's also other low-cost options out there as well.
Yeah, I think it can be so fun, in fact, if, you know, you do something like a, you know, secret Santa or secret gifter or like a white elephant gift where you're not responsible for getting something for absolutely everyone in the family, but can do more of a gift exchange. That can be a really fun way to celebrate. But I also love the idea of spending time together and having experiences together for the holidays. And a lot of those experiences can be free, especially for those of our listeners who live in beautiful Southern California, where we can, you know, go to the beach or enjoy the nature all year round.
Now, Tabak tells us there's likely to be disagreements with family members and at the gathering, especially after the election, which will just add to the stress.
I know there's a lot of differences in how people are thinking about and approaching and interacting with different social and political issues right now. Again, I think it kind of goes back to thinking ahead, planning ahead, thinking about expectations for the different types of settings that you may be in, and then choosing wisely about how and when you want to engage in certain types of conversations. We don't have control over how other people are going to respond to us or how they're going to approach conversations, but we can make decisions about how we handle ourselves and what kinds of situations or conversations we place ourselves in.
And she says, finally, if you're feeling lonely or stressed, it's important to reach out for help.
Thinking about what your sources of support are in your life, whether that is other people or places that you can go or activities that you can engage in. And then for anyone who feels like they need extra help over the holiday seasons, there are so many options out there for professional help. And I'd really put in a plug to reach out to others during this time, even if there are not people in your immediate network for you to connect with.
Listen, if you need help, you can reach out to UC Irvine Psychological Service Center, 949-824-8383, or online at sites.uci.edu/psychology-clinic.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.